Today on Real Radio.
Hey, those of us who have come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, can you now confess, as I can, that during my life of BC life, you know, before Christ life, now I look back and I can see how God was pursuing me. He was after me. Now, if you would have interviewed me at the moment, I would have said, I'm running from God. What a dope. I can't run from God. My legs aren't big enough. I can't go out in space and hide from God. You can't escape from God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament account of Jonah. Now, so far, we've observed how this Hebrew prophet tried to do quite the opposite of God's specific instructions, and how his Lord dealt with him. Well, remember that it is written throughout Scripture that if we are truly one of God's redeemed, we will be disciplined. Our teacher has entitled this study, A Change in Course. Well, look at the prayer of Jonah in chapter 2. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
God brings his verdicts upon all of his children. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 tells us, "For whom the Lord loves, he spanks." He chastens, and every son of his, he scourges that he receives. He spanks. God disciplines his kids. Now, parents, listen. You got any young parents? You're a young parent. Listen carefully. Our culture has been vandalized and victimized by a humanistic belief system regarding discipline. If you want to learn about discipline for your children, read the Bible. It's perfect. But the Bible says if you do not discipline your child, that child will grow up and be a reproach to his mama. If you don't discipline your kid, now watch this. Just by me mentioning the word discipline, you begin to wonder, can he say that word publicly? You want to know why you think that? It's because the carnal, godless system has invaded our culture so much that discipline, the definition of it is mean and brutality and abuse. Isn't that sick? It's lunatics that abuse their children. People who don't know God, who are crazy, abuse the very child. Can children drive you up the wall? Absolutely. I remember the little, and you won't stop crying. After a while, it wears on your nerves. And I remember being a young dad, I mean, like this, and you know, we lived upstairs, and I remember thinking and then laughing how I'm living upstairs. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, help. And you got to yell to get your prayer up to God because they're crying so loud. And you kind of think, hush, little baby, while you fly. But then you got to laugh. You start laughing because then the Lord will say, hey, Jack, you're just like that with me when you're not listening. And you gotta laugh. Man, he's just like, Lord, it's tremendous. But listen, we want to bless the kids because God's put that love in our hearts. And if we love them, we will discipline them biblically, correctly, which is a wonderful thing. And sociology now is learning, maybe Dr. Spock was wrong. In fact, Dr. Spock said he was wrong. Loving discipline from a loving parent is the best medicine for a stubborn will. There's a way to do it. And God knows the way. He spanks all of his children. And he does it in a way, remember, you've been taught here that when God spanks, his hand comes down, and then in the follow through, it's coming upward like the hands on a clock, catches you right in the seat of the pants. And when God spanks, he always picks you up. God never comes down on you and crushes you. He always spanks upward. And the result is that it lifts you up. is the way God works. So God delivers this conviction. Jonah, in hardening his heart, the ante has been up, and so now the verdict has been delivered, and the spank is in the form of a fish, a big one. And so God is delivering this message. Listen, Psalm 103, verse 8 is a great verse to keep in mind. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Don't we need to know that? You know, some people say, well, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New. Well, I sure hope not. Because the God of the Old Testament says in Psalm 103, verse 8, that he's merciful, that he's gracious, that he's slow to anger, and he's abounding in mercy. That's the God we need. He's working in our lives. But Jack, everything's falling apart in my world. He's working. Can he do it easier? I don't know that. He's God. But he's doing it exactly right. He's at work. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 4 tells us about God speaking to Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house. I want you to watch him. So Jeremiah goes, okay. So Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house and he sees the potter sitting at his wheel. And you've all seen this, the potter there, and he's pumping his little foot and the wheel's going around and he takes this slab of clay. It's a funky looking thing. It's just a big blob of clay. And he throws water on it. He begins to punch it. Have you ever seen a potter work on clay before he gets on the wheel? He punches it. And he's slapping water on it. He's punching it. And he's just massaging that thing. Then he throws it on the wheel. And he starts pumping faster. And the water's flying out. And then he starts to dig his thumbs in there. And with every bit of movement, he's forming something. And Jeremiah said, I was watching that potter do that to the clay. And he was forming it. And then when he took it off, there was a big mar in it. There was a big fault in it, and he took it, crunched it up, and threw it back on the wheel again and made a brand new vessel out of it. I say, man, that's like my life. I had my plan. Oh, man, I wanted to be this. And frankly, we've all learned from experience what we wanted to be was an ashtray because we can't make anything else of our lives. When all else fails, make it into an ashtray. God says, and you know what? I've got enough ashtrays. I want some vases, a vase. And he begins to mold and shape and form, and he redoes it. See, you and I get up like Jonah. We go, I got it from here. I'm going to do it. And we get on our path, and the end is an ashtray. God says, listen, I got a better plan. I'm going to grab you, and I'm going to smash you. I'm going to pour water on you. I'm going to punch you around a little bit. I'm going to throw you back on the wheel, and I'm going to reform you. And if that sounds painful, it is absolutely painful. It's God working in our lives. But the end is a great vase. The end is a great display for God's glory. And that's a wonderful thing. And in this, we see the gospel preached. Listen, verse 17 also teaches us that there's a righteousness, that Jonah's rebellion against God not only brings conviction, which brings about a verdict, that is, God's going to deal with the situation, his righteousness brings judgment upon Jonah. Christian, listen carefully. You and I will stand in judgment before Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches this. But it will have nothing to do with sin. Understand this. Read the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. We as believers will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with heaven or hell. It has to do with what we've done in this life for the glory of God in ministry. God gives you opportunity. God gives you a chance to invest in the kingdom of God or do the things of God. And he's going to ask you and I someday, what did you do with the opportunities they brought into your life? You and I will give an answer to God for that. We will. That will be our judgment before the Lord. But we will never appear before the judgment seat of God, the Father. That's the great white throne judgment. We have been removed from that because Jesus died for our sins on the cross. We've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. Thus, we have bypassed the great judgment of God the Father. That determines someone's punishment in hell. No, we have been placed in the judgment seat of Christ where we will receive those things, whether good or bad, regarding our motive of ministry in this life. So I guess what I'm saying is, my friend, if you as a believer are not developing a spiritual portfolio, if you are not developing a spiritual resume, then it's going to be a very difficult day for you in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ before his judgment seat. You're going to be in heaven. You're not going to get kicked out of heaven. But the Bible says you'll have nothing there to present before him. And by how we serve God, we're going to stand there with whatever we've done in this life, and we're going to take what God has blessed us with and minister, and we're going to give back to him, and it brings him glory. So, Christian, when you stand before the Lord, you want to bless him. That's why you and I do what we do. It's not to bless us. Our whole motive is in the end, we're going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. And he's going to say, all right, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And we're going to go, yoo-hoo, you know, and run in there, and it's going to be great. But God has given each of us a sphere of influence for ministry. Every one of us, no matter who we might be. Every one of us. Jonah's running, but God's righteous, and his righteousness brings judgment upon Jonah. It says that great fish swallowed him. Swallowed Jonah. You could say that Jonah is a type of rebellious believer, which he is, no doubt. You can also say that Jonah is a type of the world, where the world is under the sentence of death and death is going to swallow up the world. You could say that. You can also say that Jonah is a type of Jesus. Of course, Jesus likens himself to Jonah in the Gospels. When Jesus says, for 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. And no sign will be given to an unbelieving generation but the sign of Jonah the prophet. So in a sense that Jonah being swallowed by this great fish is, in a typological sense, the earth swallowing Jesus for those 3 days, for that weekend and Passover of Easter time. And that's a tremendous thing to keep in mind. The gospel is being preached in the life of Jonah. The Old Testament teaches that. You know, regarding the righteousness and the judgment of God upon Jonah, think of the righteousness and judgment upon Jesus Christ for our sins. Because God is righteous, a very, very good and godly man could not have died for our sins. It's impossible. Because perfection had to die for our sins. Something greater than good had to be the atonement for our sins. It couldn't have been a good man or a good woman. It had to be a perfect God. That's why God sent his Son from heaven to earth to die on the cross for us. Because no man could have paid the price for us. Nobody had the resources. No man will ever have the resources. But God did. Now watch this. As wonderful as that day of crucifixion was, when Jesus died for us, that day would have been meaningless and worthless if there was never a Sunday morning. Without an empty tomb in Jerusalem, Friday would have been a tragedy. But there was an empty tomb in Jerusalem on that resurrection morning. He was raised from the dead. And not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but in him being risen from the dead, promised us justification from our sins, the award of righteousness declared upon our lives. God says so, and we have the promise of eternal life. God is righteous, and because he's righteous, judgment must be brought. In our case, in our sins, judgment came against Christ in our place. For he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, became sin for us, that we through him might receive the righteousness of God. Wow. Salvation. So Jonah is swallowed by the great fish. Another thing under verse 17 is justice. His known rebellion against God brings the justice of God, which brings a sentence. And the sentence is this: and Jonah was in the belly 3 days and three nights. We'll talk more about this next time together. I will just say this, that in this experience, Out of those that, by the way, have been cited in the Encyclopedia Britannica, none of them survived for 3 days. Now, God could have caused Jonah to survive for 3 days. I personally believe, and we'll talk more about this next time, I think in keeping with the similitude of Christ and Jesus calling upon Jonah as a type, I believe that Jonah died in the belly of that great fish. It would have been nothing for God to keep him alive. But to me, the greater miracle is that Jonah died in the belly of the fish. And in doing so, you get all of chapter 2, which in my opinion is an admission of Jonah coming back in newness of life. More on that later days. Jonah, though, is receiving a justice from God, and that justice brings a sentence, 3 days and three nights. Well, not only regarding the typological sense of Christ, but did it take Jonah 3 days and three nights to then pray out unto the Lord? Look at our second point this morning, verses 1, 2, and 3. A change in course, know this, it's, and we are unable to escape from God. Finally, we're unable to escape from God. Watch what Jonah does. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. This is a tremendous thing. Number one, jot this down. We are unable to escape from the presence of God. Number one, the reason why that's the case is because God pursues us. He's pursuing us. See, wait a minute, Jack, don't you want to say that we're to pursue God? Listen, we cannot pursue God first until God pursues us. God's pursuing Jonah. Hey, those of us who have come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, can you now confess, as I can, that during my life of BC life, you know, before Christ life, now I look back and I can see how God was pursuing me. He was after me. Now, if you would have interviewed me at the moment, I would have said, I'm running from God. What a dope. I can't run from God. My legs aren't big enough. I can't go out in space and hide from God. You can't escape from God. I talked to a man the other day, sweet phone call I got. I don't know where in America he was, but he listens in and he's a truck driver. And he says, and he has this accent, I just love it. He says, you know, Pastor Jack, I just got a bail. I feel like I'm more of the body there at Calvary than the people that attend. I listen all day and all night to those sermons. I got tapes everywhere. I'm listening and I'm handing them out and I'm serving the Lord. And I'm just like, this is cool. I'm listening to this guy and we prayed together and he had some Bible questions. It was so fun. But it was so great because his heart was exploding and he made mention about, I'm never alone out here on the road. Never alone. God's with me. And I drive with the Lord. Well, that's a rough world, you know. There's prostitution, there's drug, there's violence. You can't draw your curtains. It can't be dark enough on a road lonely enough to get away from God. He's there. Oh, come on, Billy Bob, shut the curtains and it's just us alone. God's there. Hi, sweetie, would you like to have another drink? And by the way, it's just us here. God's there. He's there. You can't escape from him. He brings conviction. He brings his righteousness. He brings his justice. Not only that, it's impossible for us to escape from God because God is pursuing us. He loves us. He's after us. God wants to bless our lives. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 13, regarding God's pursuit of our lives, listen to this carefully. In God pursuing Jonah, what does God want achieved? Well, we find the answer in Matthew 4, 13. It says, and leaving Nazareth, Jesus' earthly ministry is just about ready now to get underway. He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Naphtali, or Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way, it's incredibly beautiful there, it's northern Galilee, by way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. That's the promise of the coming of the Messiah. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. Means Christ has come. Watch. Matthew 4:17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, and I quote, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Mark 1:14. Now after John the Baptist was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying this, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Did you hear the little connection there? What God is trying to get Jonah to do is to repent. Thus, the title of the message, A Change in Course. A change in course in your life, in my life, is the old Navy term. It's the old sailor term that people make fun of today. Repent. You know, I guess today would be, in a modern day tongue, you know, we would say, aye, aye, captain. Aye, aye. Aye, aye means I'm going to carry out what you just asked me to do. It's Navy talk. Aye, aye. Aye, aye. Aye, aye. That's, what does aye, aye mean? Well, if you're in the Navy, it means something. Aye, aye. Aye, aye, aye. It means something to them. It means nothing to us. So if somebody back then, 2,000 years ago, said, repent. No, people didn't fall on their face and say, oh, you know, God forgive me. They didn't do that. Repent was change course. Change course? See, yeah, you're heading, you're sailing, you're going in this direction. And God is going to cause Jonah to cry out for a change of course. Christian, first of all, you and I right now, is there anything going on in my life and in your life where God is saying, hey, change course? Could be a real public thing. Could be an invisible thing. Could be in our head. Could be at work. Could be a computer. Could be financial. I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't need to know. But is God saying to me, is he saying to you, hey, Jack, change course. This direction you're going is not right.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called A Change in Course, a look at Jonah chapter 2, which is, for the most part, the prayer of Jonah. This is all part of our teacher's series on the Old Testament narrative of Jonah, where we can learn many valuable lessons on the consequences of trying to run from the will of Almighty God. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio with more in this particular study. Now, so far, quite a number of our listeners have called or written in, letting us know how much they are really benefiting from this series in Jonah. And that's one reason why we're making this entire 11 CD set available for your own personal study and review. Our offer is this. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll be glad to send you the series right away. Remember, all that you contribute goes toward the various costs associated with bringing you Real Radio Monday through Friday here on the radio. And it's all tax deductible. So, whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention the title, simply Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, we now have a new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us and send your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. And of course, any of this contact information that you may have missed can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.